is the state senator from the 21st District here in Connecticut. That's the Shelton area, Senator Kevin Kelly. Senator, welcome to CT on the Hill.
Thank you very much for the invitation. Good morning, Dan.
And, you know, Senator, this study by WalletHub.com, which places Connecticut 46 out of 51 by states and the District of Columbia as far as highest state and local taxes in the country, certainly is disconcerting. I mean, what did you get from reading this study?
Well, certainly it's disconcerting, but, you know, unfortunately, Dan, it's something every Connecticut family already knew, is that we are way overtaxed because our government overspends. This really isn't a news flash, so to speak, to the many hardworking people of the state of Connecticut, because they see their paychecks going to Hartford way too much. And that's something that really has to change.
Now, you look at this study, if you adjust for median household in Connecticut and the annual state and local taxes for the median household, we're talking $10,155 per year. In comparison, Senator, Tennessee is $3,566 per year. So it's no wonder people, for example, are moving out of Connecticut, and in some cases the destination is Tennessee.
Correct, and that's twofold. One is people are moving out for lower taxes, but the jobs are also going there for the same reason. And that's a message that Governor Malloy and his administration has been sending to Connecticut business and jobs, is basically, we're too expensive, why don't you go somewhere else? And unfortunately, all the good educational investment that we put in our kids and in the future of Connecticut is for naught when our children leave the state and go somewhere else.
How do we turn this around? I mean, we're hearing, for example, now various groups that are upset because of budget cuts, and yeah, we really haven't, when you look at it, cut the budget all that much. How do we turn it around?
Well, first and foremost, I think Connecticut started to turn this around with the results at the ballot box last November. Despite, I'm going to say, Hillary Clinton winning at the top of the ticket, the Connecticut voter recognized that we needed to make changes here in the state of Connecticut, and we made great and significant improvements not only in the House, but particularly in the Senate, where we are now tied. When I first came to the Senate in 2011, there were 13 of us. Now there's 18 Republican senators. And what that provides the taxpayers of Connecticut is that you're going to have a fiscal, responsible, and conservative approach to government with a much larger voice and a bigger seat at the table. But that's not enough, Dan, because you still have a lieutenant governor that stands in our way because she can vote with the other 18 Democratic senators to pass a budget that might be harmful to families. But what we've got to do is bring a light to these failed policies and look at ways in which we can both grow our economy, reduce regulation, and also the size and scope of government.
You had a town hall the other night, in fact, and several people showed up. What were some of the concerns you heard from constituents? I know, for example, a Democrat showed up and said that he was fed up. But what did you hear?
Well, I'm sure we had more than one Democrat. And, you know, I know in talking with people in my district that Republicans as well as Democrats are fed up with the state of affairs in Connecticut. Let's face it, Dan. People in Connecticut, families, are having a tough time making ends meet, just in and of itself with our economy, which lags behind the rest of the nation. When you start to look at taxes continuing to take more of the family budget, it puts more stress on that family. This is what we hear. We hear that the families of Connecticut are struggling to make ends meet. And every time government turns around and takes another buck, $2, $10 out of the family's weekly budget, it makes it that much more difficult to survive in our state. And it's time that Hartford hears that message. And that's what we're prepared to do, is to bring that message to Hartford and to deliver it to the Capitol so that people can actually start to get the relief that they need. Clearly, we're not getting it from the new economic reality of Governor Malloy that doesn't perceive our economy as something that is pro-growth. He views it as a finite pie and that we have to get accustomed to this new economic reality and that this is just the way it's going to be. I tend to differ. I think it has a lot to do with the poor policy choices we're making in Hartford and the Connecticut families are paying for it.
Of course, Governor Malloy has challenged the Republicans. Where's their budget? So where is the Republicans' budget?
Well, in the Senate, we're the majority, no different than the Democrats. Why isn't he asking for theirs? I mean, let's be real about what's going on. The way the processes always work is that the governor proposes his budget to the General Assembly, and then the General Assembly will work on adjusting it to come up with something that's fair for the people of Connecticut. When you look at the governor's budget, I would be looking for someone else to blame, too, because you see what he does to various individuals. And I know one of the groups as chairman on the aging committee that I'm concerned about are seniors. But this is where, you know, his budget is not favorable to seniors. And we have to start to look at things that are more fair and equitable among all individual and all age groups. So that Connecticut can actually turn itself around.
The governor's budget itself, is it dead on arrival at the state legislature?
Well, that's what I said the other night in Shelton. I believe so. I mean, I couldn't vote for that budget and put the harm that he's looking to do onto many of the people of Connecticut. There is a better approach, I believe, and what we need to do is to work toward that. This just, you know, took too much off, and it wasn't even-handed. This is the thing. It wasn't fair. You know, this is something we learned in summer camp is that, you know, you got to be fair. And if things are fair, I think people will buy on to it. But when you start to hit some of the suburban towns on education in the numbers that they are, and these are towns that have actually been very responsible and have been prudent and have put together budgets and lived within their means, and now they're being penalized for that. And then the reward goes to other, I'm going to say, municipalities or school districts that have not been as responsible. And that's not fair. We need to look at things a little bit differently. And so that's why I don't think the budget is going to gain traction. And we need to look at things in a different way.
I mean, I know that some of the concerns you're getting from towns in your district would be there's nothing more than a passing of the buck when it comes to, for example, asking a town to come up with one-third of the teacher's pension fund. That's just going to mean an increase in property taxes unless they cut the municipal budget, Senator.
Correct. And that's where, you know, we need what Connecticut needs is real leadership. Not just somebody that's going to be looking to grab a political headline and pass the buck to somebody else. I mean, an example is the governor went after the president on Trump Care, claiming that the cut on Husky and Medicaid expansion would put 34,000 people off of Medicaid. When at the same time, Dan, last year he proposed to reduce his budget Medicaid for people on Husky, so that between last year's budget and this year's budget, he's doing the exact same thing in kicking 34,000 people off Husky A. It's the same thing, but he's critical of Washington, but not critical of his own behavior and his own conduct. Further, and when we talk about, you know, the high tax rate, another thing that hurts seniors in particular is that he wants to eliminate the funding for the Medicare Savings Program, which is another kicking off another 34,000 individuals, seniors, who seek assistance with co-pays and premiums. And why this is particularly a draconian cut is that it's actually, it actually provides an extra layer of insurance, Medicare insurance, before you get to the Medicaid dollar, which is a dollar, at least 50%, that the state of Connecticut's going to pay. So it's not being very efficient with government programs that are available, and it really targets and hurts some of the most needy, and particularly people on fixed incomes.
Where can we cut the budget, Senator?
Well, I think what you've got to do is start to look at how can we do things, you know, do more with less. One area is in human services. We have a dual delivery system. We have a report by the regulation investigation where the state looked at this dual delivery system and recognized that a partnership with the state of Connecticut and our private nonprofits to provide human services can provide twice as much at half the cost. So right there, in a day and age when we are having dwindling resources, greater need, we have a report that was done bipartisan that says this is the way through this. And yet this governor and his administration don't take the private nonprofits up on this. They don't look to move in this direction and instead continue to do business with regards to human services the old-fashioned way, and that is relying on state services to provide them, which cost more and give you less. One example.
When he put his budget together, do you think it was hopeful thinking that he was going to get something like $1.5 billion in concessions from the unions over 2 years?
I don't know what he was thinking when, you know, he did that. You know, the budget to me just didn't make sense.
Do you expect that the legislature will have a budget by the time it's scheduled to adjourn in early June?
I would like to see that. You know, we'll see what I'm going to say the appetite from the majority and the governor is with regards to compromise. You know, and we'll see whether or not we can get to where we need to be. If they focus on Connecticut families and they focus on the hardship that they are experiencing, and the fact that Connecticut can't afford, the citizens can't afford another tax increase, then I think, you know, they'll come to the table and compromise a lot quicker than if they don't think that or believe that there's someone else out there that they can get more revenue from. And that's why we see, you know, the legalization of marijuana. It's why we see more casinos. It's why we're talking about tolls. These are all just ideas that I'm going to say 3 or 4 years ago when I first came to the legislature, we would never even be considering. But we're considering them now, not because I believe they're good policy choices or they're the best thing for Connecticut families and our kids. God knows, they aren't. But the fact is we're looking at them because we have a spending addiction and we need more revenue, and so we're looking at things we normally wouldn't because we can't bridle our spending problem.
Okay, and a final question, our guest. Go ahead, Senator.
And when I say we, it doesn't include, you know, myself and our caucus.
Right. Talking with 21st District State Senator Kevin Kelly. A final question. You mentioned tolls, and let's face it, your district is not that far from the border. What are you hearing from your constituents about tolls?
Well, Dan, you got to remember that it was the horrific accident at the Stratford Toll Station, which was right in the heart of my district, that caused the tolls to come down in the first place. That indelible mark on our memory has not gone away. And so I am not hearing any appetite, or not much of an appetite, for tolls. And when people are really told the truth about tolls, they realize it's a bad deal for the Connecticut taxpayer. Once again, the problem isn't a revenue issue. People in Connecticut aren't telling me that they're not taxed enough. The problem in Connecticut is the spending addiction in Hartford, and that needs to stop.
And by the way, that was the comment from one of the Democrats who identified as a Democrat at your town hall meeting, saying that they're just sick and tired of taxes, right? Wasn't that brought up?
Correct. It's exactly the message I'm hearing in my district.
Yeah.
All people right. are crying uncle when it comes to taxes.
Yeah. I can understand. Senator, thanks very much for spending some time with us this morning. We'll continue to follow these stories down the road, and we'll talk again at some point. Have a good day.
You too. Take care, Dan.
You too.